It's Food Friday. This time of year, a lot of us are making New Year's resolutions, and that got us thinking about the things we want to get better at in the kitchen. From making sure we throw out less produce to taking on a whole new style of cuisine, there's a lot to practice and improve on.
And if you have a New Year's resolution for the kitchen, let us know about it at 800-642-1234. Is there a certain type of dish or food you want to master? Maybe there's a new piece of equipment you want to put to use. Are there techniques that you plan to practice in 2019? And if you've mastered a cooking skill that used to give you trouble, how do you do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is a classical music host at WPR and a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
It is great to be here, even though I sound a little croaky today.
Little hoarse, 'tis the season. Well, I think a lot of people are in my boat where we like to cook, but you know, you get into a comfort zone and maybe you don't want to try something new. Why do we get risk averse sometimes in the kitchen?
Unfortunately, like anything else, cooking does not come easily the first time out. If it does, please tell me what magic you're using, because you do need to practice. And unlike sitting down and spending time practicing an instrument, if you're going to practice in the kitchen, you know there's a cost involved. If you screw up a recipe, you're thinking, okay, I just spent how much money on all of these ingredients and it didn't work out. I think that's why a lot of people are hesitant to practice or practice something new. They've had one or two failures and think, you know, that's just not good for my budget to keep making these mistakes.
You know, speaking of messing up, messing up a recipe, I think, and also practice, I think one of the things that can make cooking those new dishes easier and less risky is measuring out ingredients beforehand and getting them arranged. Can you tell us why that's important?
It is helpful, first of all, because it says you've read your recipe. You know exactly, do I have all the ingredients. How many times have we been there? We're rushing around, we're throwing things together at the last minute. You get halfway through the recipe and you realize, oh, the whipped cream that I thought was still good has completely curdled. I can't use this. Now what am I going to do with that recipe?
Yeah.
So doing what the French call mise en place, put it in place. I started doing this seriously about 5 years ago, and this has really helped my cooking, getting everything measured in advance. You'd think, gee, isn't that going to take more time? Shouldn't I just be chopping and measuring as I go? I've discovered that it's one of the easiest ways to lose track of what you're doing. It's an easy way to burn something, to overcook something, because you're not paying attention to the actual final process of cooking. So it's what professional chefs do. They do all the chopping, they do all the measuring, they get everything set up before they start cooking. Then they know the butter is at the perfect temperature. They're not having to shove something in the microwave to soften it at the last minute. They've got the right kind of paprika that the recipe calls for. Then, once you have everything that you know you need, that's when you can start getting creative at your kitchen. If you've put in the recommended amount of mustard and then you taste it and go, you know, I really think this needs more for what I want it to taste like, then of course you can add at the last minute. But it helps so much. It helps keep your mind focused if you go ahead and do what they do on the cooking show. Have everything set out in those cute little bowls. It's not just to make it easier for the camera person. It's to actually make it easier for the cook.
That should be a good resolution for me this year, because I've been burned on that moldy applesauce when I was baking one time, or that recipe you're reading, and it's like, oh, it says to bake 40 minutes, and then you missed a bit. Then put it back in and bake another half hour. Uh-oh. Hey, everybody, dinner's late tonight. Been there.
Yeah.
And, Lori, I understood you had a resolution for 2018 on some curries. Is that right?
Years ago on a Food Friday show, I was interviewing the author of a book called 660 Curries. And over the years, I'd make one or two. And every time I'd make one, my boyfriend would say, you know, this is really different and it's really delicious. So about a year and a half ago, we decided, until we get sick of it, we're going to make a brand new curry a week.
Wow.
And with a couple of weeks where other things got in the way, we've held to that. And we've been having a ball. We've discovered my boyfriend has a certain flavor profile that he really gravitates to. There's a few things that I like a little bit differently in a curry. So now, here again, we're able to break away from the recipe because we took the time to practice. Yes, we had a few mistakes, but we had this system in place where we knew it's one curry a week and we're going to try something new. And we've learned so much about how we like to cook and how we like to eat, focusing on just one kind of cuisine.
You know, one of the things that I've admittedly taken for granted, but I know it's very important when it comes to the kitchen, is a sharp knife.
But
keeping the knife sharp in the right way is a skill. Is that something worth learning in the new year?
Absolutely. I asked on Facebook my friends, what do you want to do in the kitchen? And I had one woman say, I'd like to stop the bloodshed in the kitchen. she's got a big family, and she and her husband are busy, but she says they get rushing around the kitchen, and one meal in eight, somebody is reaching for a Band-Aid. And the first thing I thought of is, Kelly, when was the last time you sharpened your knives? Here's the interesting thing. The steel that you see everybody using, that doesn't sharpen your knife. That hones it. Sharpening is different. You are actually taking a little bit of the metal off the knife to get the edge perfectly straight and perfectly aligned. As you use a kitchen knife, that's going to get slightly out of alignment. If you look close, it's actually slightly bent on the blade. What a honing steel does is it takes that slight misalignment and gets it back in. And it's great, but it's not completely sharpening. Now, whether you want to sit down in 2019 and learn how to use an actual knife stone, a whetstone, a knife block, it takes some time, but it's worth it if you want to get your knives really sharp. Or do some looking around in your area, find out who's a good professional knife sharpener in your area. This I cannot stress enough. Get lots of good recommendations, because a lot of people say they sharpen knives. Not everybody does it well. You find a good person to sharpen your knives, your kitchen skills are going to get a lot better.
Safety warning: if you hone or sharpen a knife, alert everyone else who uses that knife. Because last time I had bloodshed, it was a knife that I thought was going to be dull and was not. We are talking about New Year's cooking resolutions on this edition of Food Friday with Lori Skelton. We heard some of our colleagues, Larry Mueller, wants to learn to use an Instapot. Karina Abrego-Koch in our Green Bay Bureau said the same thing. Those are their resolutions. You can join in with what you want to learn in the kitchen at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We offer recipes often, Lori, on Food Friday. This week, no exception. One resolution people can do, and maybe this is a good one for me, to up our sauce game.
Yep.
You've got a recipe for us for a basic sauce that we can build on.
It's one of those things that you see your parents do it, or you see your friends do it all the time. Put a piece of protein in a saucepan and saute it, and then they take the protein out, let it rest, and then they throw a few things in the pan and they whip up a great sauce. And it's one of those things that it looks completely easy, but unless you've practiced it, unless you've gone through the steps, you can end up with a lumpy mess rather quickly. So we put up a recipe for a good basic pan sauce where, again, this is another place where it's helpful while your protein is sauteing. Measure everything else that you're going to need for that sauce out ahead of time, and then you've got a great method of leave a tablespoon of the fat in the pan, deglaze the pan with red wine or red wine vinegar or maybe some citrus juice and a little bit of cream, a little bit of cornstarch, and suddenly you've got a great simple sauce. And once you've mastered the basic technique, you can get really creative with additional herbs or additional seasonings. And it's completely simple, but it will really up your kitchen game.
Yeah, I've tried sauce before, but I've never really gotten the hang of trying to improve it. So, what are some of the secrets of doing that? Is it about adding spices, or is it just the sauce itself? Whether you're making meat or fish,
this is where practice really comes in handy, because you get creative when you've got the basics down. It's like muscle memory when you're playing the piano or swinging a golf club. You do it, and suddenly you don't have to think about what you're doing. You get a chance to think about other things. So let me ask you, what spices do you like in the kitchen?
See, I like lemon pepper.
Okay.
I like, you know, paprika.
Okay.
So things like that. Things that are flavorful and spicy.
Okay.
Lemon.
And
lemon itself.
And those are great ways to get started with a basic pan sauce. Instead of using alcohol to deglaze your pan, use a little bit of stock and some of that citrus juice. Maybe what you might want to try is, do you grind your own pepper? Have you ever cracked pepper?
I have not.
Okay. Well, that right there is going to make quite a difference in how your sauce tastes. Okay. If you go out and get peppercorns, and you don't have to do anything fancy. A lot of professional chefs will just take a heavy saucepan and crack those peppercorns on the counter. Make certain it's not a butcher block counter that you're going to dent permanently, but
sure,
crack the peppercorns under that heavy saucepan, and just the simple act of fresh cracked pepper might change your sauce up. Paprika, that would be a lovely addition for chicken. You don't want to use too much. That can get in the way fairly quickly. But just a little, I think, might really surprise you.
It's Food Friday, and we're making New Year's resolutions for the kitchen with WPR's Lori Skelton.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a cooking skill you want to get better at, maybe in 2019? Are you challenging yourself with a different style of cuisine or a different ingredient? Are you trying to eat healthier or reduce waste in the kitchen? Or if you've succeeded in something that used to intimidate you in cooking, let us know about that. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. By the way, you can find that basic sauce recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday.
We'll pick this conversation up in just a bit here on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up the conversation with Lori Skelton about New Year's resolutions for the kitchen.
And we're taking your calls and your kitchen resolutions, if any, at 800-642-1234. What do you want to get better at in the kitchen? And do you need some advice for Lori on how to do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Ed is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Ed.
Well, Ms. Skelton was, or probably still is, a longtime member of the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus.
Yep. I'm not singing Messiah this weekend, but yeah, I'm still in the chorus.
I'd like to know one tip or recipe that you have received from another chorus member that you use in the kitchen, or the best tip you've ever gotten from a chorus member.
From another chorus member. Boy, there have been so many over the years. Is there something you're thinking about, Ed?
No, maybe even Andreas Delft in his time gave you a recipe from Germany.
I've never talked food with Andreas Delft, I'm sorry to say. What I know with the symphony chorus, it can get fascinating. We have a chance to trade what works for a singer. And everybody has their own thing that does or doesn't work. Some people love coffee before they sing. Some people can't handle caffeine before they sing. The one thing that I got from a voice teacher when I first started singing in Milwaukee was, she said the perfect singer's food before a concert was macaroni and cheese. It's the perfect combination of protein and carbohydrate. I told that to half the singers in the chorus, and they thought I was nuts. All that dairy before you sing, mm-hmm. they said, no, it just doesn't work. So one particular tip from a singer, I don't know that there is one. The lovely thing is, I've been a member of this chorus since the mid-1980s, and we've had a chance to share a lot of good things over the years.
Ed, thanks a lot for the call. By the way, I forgot to mention again, you can find a sauce recipe, a starter sauce that you can build on at WPR.org/Food Friday.
How do you, Lori, select a good cut of meat? I always struggle with that when going to the grocery store. Like, how do you know what's a good cut of meat from a not so good one?
Are we talking chicken, pork, beef? What are
you? Well, chicken isn't bad in terms of, you can always find, you know, what's good and what isn't. But I think beef and steak is something I always have an issue with.
If I'm looking at a steak that's been packaged. I tend to shy away from something that looks a little gray.
Okay.
But I will be honest, in the last several years, I've gotten so comfortable with the farmers who are bringing meat to the farmers market in Madison, and I've gotten so comfortable talking to butchers in the Madison area. I very seldom buy prepackaged meat anymore. I talk to them about what's fresh today, what are you recommending, what looks good. Very often that means you're going to be changing your recipe. And that's what a lot of cooks recommend. Don't get so tied to a recipe that, well, it has to be such and such cut of meat. If your butcher is telling you, you know, I don't really have anything that I can recommend with that particular cut today, but I've got something over here that you might like just as well. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Go ahead and say, how would you prepare it? Or go ahead and ask, I tried this on the grill 2 weeks ago and it was a complete disaster. What did I do wrong? Finding a good cut of meat does take a little bit of work. Again, it comes down to that practicing the basics. And in this case, go ahead and make friends with the person who's actually doing the carving.
We're talking to Lori Skelton on this week's edition of Food Friday, getting some New Year's resolutions for the kitchen for 2019. Lori, you asked around for people for stuff they wanted to accomplish. And one thing you heard from some people is, and I'm there too, trying to reduce waste, throw away less stuff in the kitchen. Can you give us a couple tips that we can try?
One thing that I've gotten to do in the last 6 months, I moved. And so garbage day is now a different day of the week. Garbage day for me is now Thursday. I've set myself a challenge that if I'm home on Wednesday night and I'm cooking dinner, Wednesday night is the night that I go to the refrigerator and I haul everything out. I see what's about to go spare, what's about to get spoiled, but is still good. And I just sit down and kind of toss it all together and see what happens. It sounds a little odd. I'm not saying every combination of vegetables and protein that I've come up with is going to be on your local restaurant menu. I have made some mistakes. But for the most part, it has definitely reduced the amount of food that I throw out because, oh, shoot, I forgot that I had salad greens in the back part of the crisper. Salad greens tossed in a pan with a little bit of olive oil and maybe some leftover roast potatoes. You throw that together, you get it warmed up, crack an egg or two on top of that, and you've got dinner. So set yourself one night a week where you just say, I'm going to clear out the refrigerator. And while you're doing that, make a list of the jar of the one exotic ingredient that you bought for one recipe and you haven't used it since. Go ahead and throw a little bit of that in there. Okay, so maybe you don't normally cook with Thai curry paste. Maybe you'll find out that throwing just a little bit of that one jar that you had in the back of the cupboard might just transform your cooking. So that's been my big takeaway from this year, in addition to the curries, is having one night where all I do is get rid of the leftovers. Obviously, I haven't killed myself yet, so.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Emil. Emil from Rhinelander. Emil, welcome to Central Time. Hello.
Yes, sir. I am a Bohemian cook from way back. I got two grandmas back, all home recipes. I got a little tip that I give everyone. They love it. When I make coffee cake, I make the butter crumbs out of the melted butter and the flour and the sugar and a little vanilla. And then I make sausages out of it, like it. I put it in the freezer. And then I just grate it over my coffee cake. I don't have to fool making butter crumbs each time.
What a good idea.
Wow, Emil, that sounds good.
Yeah, it works great, okay?
That, and now obviously that involves some planning, but there are a number of recipes where you can make a big batch of something, do what he did, freeze it, or, you know, find the right way to store it, do a little bit of Googling, do a little bit of research, see what will keep in your freezer or refrigerator, and then yes, the next time you're cooking something, you've got it made. It It does involve planning, and I know for a lot of people, it's the planning that can really trip them up. But if you can incorporate even just one or two things that you do ahead of time that you know you've got it, it's a great suggestion. Thank you for that.
I want to spend our last minute and a half, Lori, on a South American cooking. That's something you're going to be working on in the coming year, in part because you're probably going to be on this WPR trip to South America, Argentina and Chile, I think.
Coming up, by the way,
at WPR.org/travel. What are you looking ahead at in cooking in 2019?
Well, something that has started to show up in Madison at some of the push carts are arepas, the corn cakes that you can stuff with wonderful, I guess for the most part, it's animal.
Anything, basically. Animal
protein shows up a lot, but you can do it with vegetables. You can
do it
with beans and plantains. So those are the corn cakes that show up in various guises throughout South America. And, of course, empanadas. And anyone who's living in the Milwaukee area, I know if you go on the south side of Milwaukee to the El Rey grocery store, they have a lot of those doughs for wonderful filled things done ahead of time. So you can sort of cheat a little bit. You don't have to make the dough right offhand, but you can get used to making those flavorful fillings and then have somebody else make the dough.
Now, I love those arepas. If you're looking for a product tester, Lori, keep me in mind.
I will.
And
absolutely.
Thanks, as always, Lori. Good to talk to you again.
Good to be here.
Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host. She's with us every couple of months for Food Friday. Today we're talking about some New Year's resolutions in the kitchen. There's still time to share your resolution for 2019 in the kitchen over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And find the recipe Lori mentioned earlier at WPR.org/Food Friday for that sauce that'll get you started.